Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Tattoo and Barber Convention to take place at Horseshoe Arena. Midland. Tattoo artists from around the world will visit the Tall City this weekend for the 7th Annual Tattoo and Barber Convention, which is put on by West Texas Tats and Fades. The multi-day convention will take place from today, Saturday, and Sunday at the Midland Horseshoe Arena. More than 100 tattoos and barber booths will be at the convention to showcase their skills and compete for prizes. Tats and Fades artist Henry Carrasco says this year's convention will also have a kids' entertainment zone. Quote, the kids' zone has jumpers and different stuff for the event to entertain them, end quote, Carrasco said. Quote, we bring artists from all around. We just bring them just to do a meet and greet with people that are into the tattoo industry, end quote. The convention has grown since its inaugural event. When the convention first started, Carrasco said there were about 60 total artists and barbers at the event. This year, they expect about 150. Quote, it's got a lot to do with the competition, end quote, Carrasco said. Quote, you get a lot of different kinds of vibes with other shops and other people in the tattoo and barber industries. They're very competitive amongst each other, and it's hard to see when you're not in the industry, but we put everyone together in one building and let them go all out. A lot of it has to do with the locals. We bring them here to one building and let them go at it and compete. We give out awards for first, second, and third place trophies for the tattoos and the barbers as well, end quote. The convention hit a bump when it was canceled in 2020 due to COVID, but the event returned last year. Quote, COVID did put us back a year, end quote, Carrasco said. Quote, but bouncing back from that, we're hoping to get a little more feedback. COVID did put a little bit of a hit on us. To miss a year, it's hard to get back up, end quote. A lot of tattoo artists and barbers at the inaugural event have returned each year. Quote, we've had people from the first and second show that competed and don't do anything as far as winning, and now you see those come up and come off with something, end quote, Carrasco said. Quote, the looks on their faces and the excitement is what catches everyone's attention. We have a lot of repeats. It's a tradition for a lot of people to come back. I see a lot of the same people come back at the front of the building and they're excited about it, end quote. For Carrasco, the highlight of the convention is getting to see the same tattoo artists and barbers return each year, as well as new people. Quote, just meeting the different people and seeing all the locals and different artists in the building communicate with each other is fun, end quote, Carrasco said. Quote, it's watching them in the same building and walking by and asking each other questions and helping each other grow. That's been the best part for me. It's nice to see everyone come together and hold no grudges or bad vibes. They just talk and help each other out, end quote. Fall Festival returns for 12th year. The annual Fall Festival returns for its 12th year this weekend. The event, which is put on by the City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department, is scheduled from 1 to 7 p.m. Saturday at McKinney Park, 625 West Pool Road. The annual festival has been a staple to the community and continues to grow each year with new and exciting activities. Throughout the afternoon, families can enjoy a maze, inflatables, a treasure hunt, and a climbing wall. The Pilot Club will also be having a bicycle helmet giveaway while supplies last. For a schedule of the events and for more information, visit tinyurl.com/MRYM476E. Fab Four to perform at WNPAC. Midland. Beatlemania will take over the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center tonight with the Fab Four, the ultimate tribute. The performance is scheduled for 7 p.m. today at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, with doors opening at 6 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/YC3HFRB8. The Emmy Award-winning Fab Four features a precise attention to detail while paying tribute to John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. Attendees can expect note-for-note live renditions of Beatles classics such as Can't Buy Me Love, Yesterday, A Day in the Life, Twist and Shout, Here Comes the Sun, and Hey Jude. The Fab Four stage performance includes three costume changes representing every era of the Beatles' ever-changing career. The tribute band has performed for audiences all over the world. Obituaries. Margaret Elizabeth Liz Merchant Glass. Dallas. Liz Glass, Margaret Elizabeth Merchant Glass, passed away peacefully and went to her heavenly home on October 12, 2022, at the age of 89. She was born on July 4, 1933, in Austin, Texas. She was preceded in death by her husband, Ben Glass, her parents, Arthur Herman and Margaret G. Jones Merchant, her brother, Arthur Henry Merchant, his wife, Phyllis Merchant, and nieces Nancy Merchant Saxon and Beverly Dell Stuckey. Liz is survived by son Tom Glass and wife Kathy of McDade, Texas, son David Glass and wife Betty of Atlanta, Georgia, daughter Carol Glass Slover and husband David of Dallas, Texas. She is also survived by six grandchildren: Courtney Glass, Brandon Glass, Seth Slover, wife Berkeley, Sarah Slover Brown, husband Morgan, Hannah Glass, Sam Glass, great-granddaughter Katie Maddox, her nieces and nephews, and host of others who loved her. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, October 17th, 2022, at First Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. Liz will be laid to rest in the Oakwood Cemetery in Austin, alongside generations of her family. In lieu of flowers, anyone wishing to honor Liz's life can make a gift in her memory to the Texas Baptist Bible Drill Program or Mission Dignity. Evelyn Nell Wright Carlson. Crane. Obituary. Evelyn Nell Carlson. Life began for Nell on December 7, 1935, in Gladewater, Texas. Nell is survived by her children, Carl Robert Carlson Jr. of Hearst, Texas, and Catherine L. Carlson of Plano, Texas. She also is survived by many nieces and nephews. We would like to thank Focus Care of Crane and Home Hospice for caring for Nell. A memorial service was held at Highland Methodist Church in Odessa, Texas, with John Hendricks officiating, along with the pastor, Adrian Coleman. In lieu of flowers, a memorial may be made in Nell's honor to Highland United Methodist Church.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 8, 2022. Few points. Questions for the candidates. Brandon Hodges, MISD District 5 candidate. Communicate. Be transparent about kids' educational options. About school choice. October 8. What is your belief on school choice and public schools? Should we continue forward with the four separate MISD-created schools of innovation, Milam, Goddard, Bunch, Carver Center, and their separate boards, or should we fold those back into MISD? Should we expand, contract, or stay about the same with in-district partnerships with third-party providers, YWLA, Idea Travis, Sam Houston College Prep? Access to a good education should be something that everybody can enjoy, not just a select few. School choice allows parents access to alternative educational opportunities when their children are stuck on a failing campus. Having options also allows for competition between the charter schools and traditional neighborhood public schools, which forces both to provide high-quality seats to keep their students. Parental rights are the pillar of our society and should be at the forefront when determining the best educational options for their children. With the passage of Senate Bill 1882, Midland can offer Midland parents and students in-district options. Our DOI campuses should continue with their missions currently. We should allow these options to continue if they are meeting their agreed-upon metrics. Our DOI campuses, in-district charters, and traditional public schools should all be working together regarding improving student outcomes. Educational freedom should decrease bureaucracy in education and empower teachers and parents to better educate students. These educational options are already anchored in Midland, and we should allow them to continue to improve education for Midland students if they are meeting their agreed-upon metrics. From my viewpoint, we should stay where we are currently with the number of in-district charters and DOI campuses. We need to see where these educational options have led our students academically before we turn any more campuses over. YWLA, Idea Travis, and Sam Houston have shown growth in their students with regards to academic outcomes. We should allow them to continue and reevaluate after we get next year's star scores. Another factor we should be looking at is their discipline records on these campuses. Are they having the discipline issues we see at other traditional public schools in Midland? If they are not, We should replicate their discipline policies to our local public schools district-wide. Although I am for parental choice in education, I know many Midland parents have questions and concerns with charters and DOI campuses. First, why are these options finding more academic success than our traditional public schools? Another concern many have are the separate boards. I also do not like having independent appointed boards. Midland voters have no recourse for holding these boards accountable through the election process. There is the question whether we are starving certain local campuses of resources to turn them over to charters. Another matter mentioned is the application and testing required to get into some of our DOI schools. These are just some of the concerns and questions I have heard. These concerns could be eased if MISD and the board did a better job educating the community about these options. At the end of the day, we need to offer high-quality seats and help alleviate capacity issues. If the school options are helping meet those objectives and adding value to students, we should all embrace these with welcoming arms. But we also cannot expect our teachers to educate all kids on traditional campuses if they are not being supported with the same tools and resources our charters and DOI campuses have access to. That is unreasonable. Again, these concerns can easily be muted with education, better communication, and full transparency from the school board and district. As a board member, I will always make sure we are offering those aspects to Midland parents, students, and teachers. As a board member, you will find me holding town halls to help answer concerns from the community. Please follow our campaign at www.facebook.com/HodgesMISD5, https://legal-services/TASB.org/TASB-school-law-esource/governance/districts-of-innovation/documents/DOI-overview.pdf. John Trishitti III, MISD District 5 candidate. Parents should be allowed to have options for their children. About school choice. What is your belief on school choice and public schools? Should we continue forward with the four separate MISD-created schools of innovation, Milam, Goddard, Bunch, Carver Center, and their separate boards, or should we fold those back into MISD? Should we expand, contract, or stay about the same within district partnerships with third-party providers? YWLA, Idea Travis, Sam Houston College Prep. As a father of five who has had two graduates from MISD schools and has three currently attending, I am for school choice. I have had my children at neighborhood schools, schools of innovation, and in district partnerships campuses. I believe that there is more than one educational structure or environment that can work for students and have successful results. Parents should be allowed to have options for the best possible environment for their students to thrive. There is no cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all answer when it comes to education. House Bill 1882 was passed in the Texas legislature in 2017, before I was elected. I commend the district and board at that time for their outside-the-box thinking in trying to find creating solutions to the poor academic performance at that time. The in-district partnerships were entered into with established nonprofit partners with a track record of success. Furthermore, the recent result of academic success is a confirmation that these schools are good for students and have delivered the positive academic outcomes that were expected. Regarding schools of innovation and in-district partnerships, yes, it is what is best for students at large. That said, we need to carefully assess each campus and the families they serve. If they are not performing well at the end of their contract, then folding them back in is the best answer. It is not simple to just keep them all or fold them back in. Each campus needs to be measured and assessed based on its academic outcomes. I see no need to further expand until the ones we currently have are meeting or exceeding expectations. As long as these partnerships work to educate the students of MISD, I believe in their potential. Look at the success we have seen thus far. Additionally, there are dollars that directly benefit the students on these campuses, and with MISD sending 1/3 of its budget each year to Austin, this year it amounts to $150 million. Then we should explore options that get MISD students more resources. Let us never forget, these are MISD students. A popular misconception is that these campuses are stealing students, and that is just not factual. These campuses are educating our kids while focusing on strengthening neighborhood campuses, something that will always be needed and for many students is the best choice. Competition is good in business and industry, and competition is good for the quality of education of the students in Midland. So long as the schools are meeting academic benchmarks and the contracts are reviewed on a regular basis and the students remain MISD students, then I will continue to be in favor of exploring any and all options for collaboration. Sarah Burleson, MISD District 6 candidate. Students should attend a school where they can thrive. About school choice. What is your belief on school choice and public schools? Should we continue forward with the 4 separate MISD-created schools of innovation, Milam, Goddard, Bunch, Carver Center, and their separate boards, or should we fold those back into MISD? Should we expand, contract, or stay about the same with in-district partnerships with third-party providers, YWLA, Idea Travis, Sam Houston College Prep? Midland ISD offers innovative programming to meet the unique educational needs of MISD students. All MISD students currently have the opportunity to apply and qualify to attend the school that meets their needs. It would be a disservice to take away a student's ability to attend a school that would help them thrive. Midland parents can choose neighborhood schools, MISD schools of innovation, and in-district charters. Presently, there are 6 high school options for students within MISD as well. My focus would be to continue progress toward ensuring a high-quality learning environment for all students in all MISD schools. When parents and students have a choice, it increases parental involvement, meets the unique needs of each student, leads to higher graduation rates, brings competition and accountability to all schools, creates a vibrant future workforce for Midland. Parents have made it clear these schools are wanted and needed by the communities they serve. The data proves these in-district partnerships are serving MISD students and getting results. If the current partnerships are educating the students and meeting MISD goals, we should not deny students the education they deserve. Every contract should be reviewed and evaluated on its own merit. If the partnership is working and is successful for students, then it should continue. If the partnership is not successful, we need to look closely and have conversations about the effectiveness of the program and how to improve the program to achieve better student outcomes. We should not take opportunities away from students being served at these schools. Instead, let's focus on how MISD can provide a similar experience at every school. As a board member, I will focus on hiring a superintendent who will empower our campus leaders to create opportunities on every campus. Every MISD campus and program must improve student outcomes. Our workforce and our community benefits from a successful school district. Carrie McNeil, MISD District 6 candidate. Who holds privately appointed school boards accountable? About school choice. What is your belief on school choice and public schools? Should we continue forward with the 4 separate MISD-created schools of innovation, Milam, Goddard, Bunch, Carver Center, and their separate boards, or should we fold those back into MISD? Should we expand, contract, or stay about the same with in-district partnerships with third-party providers? YWLA, Idea Travis, Sam Houston College Prep. School of choice and charter schools are a hot-button topic currently. I first want to say that every child in Midland deserves to have a quality education. I personally am not in favor of schools that have privately appointed boards. It takes the power out of community members' and parents' hands. As a taxpayer, if you do not approve of the decisions that your trustee is making, you can use your vote as your voice. If the board is privately appointed, then who holds them accountable? We have contracts with three different in-district charters. Those charters do report annually to MISD, but that is about all that our board is responsible for regarding those campuses. I believe that we need to finish our contracts to the best of our ability, because those kids deserve that. And when the window for renewing, terminating the contracts comes up, our board needs to reevaluate. A step in the reevaluation process needs to include community input. I also believe that we need to be focusing our energy and resources into our neighborhood schools. We need to have continuity across the district in our campuses. A student should be able to walk into any campus in MISD and receive the same quality experience. The schools that are struggling the most should be the ones receiving the most resources. I can only imagine what Washington's future would have looked like if we had poured more resources into that campus. Charter schools have financial resources that our public schools do not, and our finances and budget should reflect that. Once a new superintendent is appointed and their vision put into motion, I believe the board should conduct a deep evaluation on assets and resources. Strong consideration needs to be taken to redistribute our finances in a way that is most productive to our struggling and at-risk campuses. Funneling finances into charters that already have access to financial resources that our neighborhood schools do not is not how we address underserved campuses. We have some of the best teachers in the state and such servant-minded heart in our community that I believe our students in MISD can surpass anything a charter school can offer. If our community could rally around academics with the enthusiasm that we rally around our student athletes, we could move mountains.
My name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, October 8th, 2022. Letters to the Editor. MISD District 3. Bishop cares about communities' families. Every once in a while, you meet someone who is not moved by pats on the back, achievements, or self-glory. Occasionally, you even meet someone who simply cares, who simply wants to look out for the next individual's needs. Mr. Tommy Bishop is that guy. He simply cares. He cares about the family, as he and Claudine have been married 14 years. He cares about his community, as he and his wife regularly attend True Light Christian Fellowship, serving in many facets. He cares about these children in this community, as he constantly is in and out of events, games, and gatherings anywhere the kids in this city are gathering. You will see Mr. Tommy Bishop serving these kids and their families as a servant board member of MISD. He is a pillar in this community and an ambassador for education in this city. A man like this must have a tremendously large heart. We are all truly thankful and just downright blessed for an individual like Mr. Tommy Bishop serving in his role as a school board member. He has been a model for this city and this community, and it honors me to write this letter of appreciation, exalting a brother and a friend who will admit that it is all because of the God in his heart. Best regards, Rayon Calhoun, True Light Christian Fellowship, Assistant Pastor. Bishop is willing to answer the call. I would like to express my support for Tommy Bishop in his candidacy for Midland Independent School District School Board. I have personally known Tommy Bishop for almost the entirety of my life. I can attest to his good, sound character and committed work in the community. One of the many characteristics that I admire of Mr. Bishop is his unselfish and humble nature. In the times we live in, it is a relief that good, God-fearing Christians are willing to answer the call of public service. In his campaign, Tommy Bishop has been working hard to gather input from parents, teachers, and other citizens about what they think is working and what areas could be improved in our schools. I know Tommy will be very open to input from a wide array of sources if he is reelected. As a parent of young children, I know Tommy Bishop will be especially sensitive to the concerns of all parents. I had two nieces that went to and graduated from Midland ISD. I always feel confident knowing that when Tommy was serving on the MISD school board, he had theirs, all children's, and the citizens' best interest at heart. For all these reasons, I hope you can make a good moral judgment and vote for Tommy Bishop for school board representation on Election Day. Andrew R. Aguilar, Sheriff of Crane County. Bishop is mindful of his responsibilities. Tommy Bishop has had a distinguished career representing the voters of District 3 on the MISD school board. Tommy has a passion for service. He regularly attends school functions at every campus in his district. Whether he is reading to elementary school children or supporting our young athletes, Tommy's presence is felt. Tommy believes that he can make a difference and improve the student outcomes for a better future for all students. Tommy also believes that the taxpayers of Midland deserve a level of fiscal responsibility. He does not support the expansion of charter schools. District funds should be controlled by elected representatives, not privately appointed boards. Tommy recognizes that there are needed improvements in facilities, but is committed to making those improvements incrementally while being mindful of the burden placed upon the taxpayers. He recognizes that the last bond election failed due to a lack of transparency and voter concerns of a comprehensive package that could have been handled over a series of proposals. In closing, Tommy has the best interests of the students at heart while trying to be conservative in his approach. He is always mindful of his responsibilities to the taxpayers of Midland. Craig Carpenter. Bishop is focused on doing what's best. We are writing to share our support for the re-election of Tommy Bishop to the MISD School Board. Midland has been so blessed to have Tommy as a school board member because he has proven to be dedicated, passionate, and very focused on doing what's best for our children, parents, and teachers. Tommy cares deeply about the quality of education for all students. We have known Tommy personally for many years, and we know he wants every child to succeed, and he wants to give every one of them the tools they need to do just that. Tommy is a family man and an excellent listener who fully considers options before making decisions. He is very skilled at making things happen and very open to change when change is needed. We encourage Midland to re-elect Tommy Bishop. Dan and Doris Keats. Legacy Student Supports Bishop. I'm Connor Benson, and I currently am a student at LHS. About 2 years ago, I met District 3 nominee Tommy Bishop when I was working at Fiddlesticks Farms. Since then, I've grown to know Tommy as an upstanding school board member and a great advocate for our community. My first interaction with him was one I didn't even recognize I was having. I'd never met Mr. Bishop, and he'd never met me. Nonetheless, when I was helping him with a birthday party he had set up and a mishap occurred, his reaction surprised me. Most people would have reacted impulsively and gone straight into rage mode, but Tommy was understanding as could be. My experiences with him have all been similar to that situation, and he's always been the reliable school board member that I and others have needed to get problems resolved. His support in reinforcing our safety district-wide has been vital. He's one of few board members who actually listens to the community and takes our concerns seriously. The dedication he has shown and his willingness to provide the district with his all had been more than enough to gain my support and gratitude. Vote Tommy Bishop for District 3. Connor Benson. City of Midland District 4. Hard to compete with Garrity's experience. I proudly support Jim Garrity for City Council District 4. As a previous candidate, I know that District 4 is unique and diverse. It contains both low-income apartments and million-dollar homes. A good council member must represent the entire district and all their constituents equally. Jim will do that. Jim runs 24 Domino's Pizza restaurants. Over the past 23 years, Jim has built 6 stores in Midland and provides more than 100 jobs. He assists employees in finding affordable housing and understands the challenges faced by both employees and business owners. The skills required to run a successful business are the same ones necessary to manage a city, such as balancing a budget, prioritizing needs over wants, and working with different personalities for common goals. When I ran in 2019, I wouldn't have wanted to run against Jim. I may be a native Midlander with a strong work ethic and a heart for service, but I simply couldn't compete with Jim's life and business experience. He is more qualified than I was and the most qualified candidate now. Jim Garrity is a business owner, a fiscally conservative Republican, and the right choice for Midland City Council District 4, Kimberly Crisp. Berks will fight for area residents. I'm writing to share why I've decided to support Amy Stretcher Berks for City Council District 4. I just moved to Midland and really wanted to learn about each candidate. At a meet and greet last week, I had a chance to talk to her high school teachers who spoke highly of her hard work, integrity, and family. One teacher was so thankful for Amy fighting for her home in the Nueva Vista development. Amy went door to door, gathered signatures, shared her phone number, which she still does, went to meetings, and kept everyone updated. Amy fought for homeowners and had open lines of communication. Like in high school, she worked hard, had integrity, and loved her fellow citizens. Many of us hope she will fight the same way with the proposed development by Green Tree Country Club and Mockingbird Heights. Golf carts, kids on bikes, and runners use Green Tree Boulevard, and homeowners don't want Green Tree Boulevard to become a main road between Midland Drive and Holiday Hill. Amy will fight for roads and infrastructure before development in that area. Amy will listen to citizens and learn what the most important concerns are in District 4. I'm impressed with her. I hope you have a chance to meet her, share your thoughts, and join me in voting for her. Pray, do your research, and vote on November 8th. Mary Pat Weedman.
Treatment for arachnoiditis. Dear Dr. Roach, do you know if there have been any advancements in the treatment of arachnoiditis? My best friend received this diagnosis last week following an epidural steroid injection for back pain in February. She takes naproxen, Tylenol 3, and Lyrica. She says that Lyrica provides relief from severe nerve pain. It's sad that she went in for pain relief and ended up with this life-changing diagnosis. Thanks for your help. Answer. Arachnoiditis is a type of meningitis, one that may be caused by an adverse reaction to the medications used for an epidural steroid injection. I do not know of any cure for arachnoiditis. The condition is treated with pain medications of the type she is getting, and only occasionally with surgery in people with very disabling symptoms. Some people get slightly better over time while others can worsen. This is a rare and very unfortunate outcome. Epidural injections are usually safe, but shouldn't be undertaken lightly. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Recovering addict believes past has ruined the present. Dear Abby for Friday. Dear Abby, I am in my 60s, single and childless. I was raised by parents who had issues, and I did not have a nurturing childhood. As a result, for decades I had a chaotic life and turned to alcohol and drugs to soothe my emotional pain. I have been drug-free and sober for many years. Still, I'm troubled when I see how abnormal and dysfunctional my life was and what I have missed that normal people get to enjoy, like marriage, children, and grandchildren. My sadness and loneliness are so overwhelming that some days I don't want to get out of bed. I'm finding it very hard to discover a purpose. Any suggestions? Wounded in California. Dear Wounded, you cannot change the past, but you can certainly change the future. The first step should be to consult a licensed mental health professional about your deep depression. With talk therapy and medication, you may finally be able to overcome it. Once you are stable again, your therapist may also work with you to help you decide how to fill those empty spaces in your life. Please don't wait to reach out. Dear Abby, my son graduated from high school and won't make a plan. He doesn't help with anything around the house, won't save money to buy his own car, and refuses to share our extra car with his sister. We are in constant conflict. I want him to move out. I want him to be working and saving money if I'm paying for his room and board. He sleeps until noon, works sporadically, and spends his limited money on pre-workout supplements, shoes, and guitars. He's on his phone playing games in his bed most days and late into the night. Advice? Enough already in Virginia. Dear Enough, your son isn't making a plan to become independent because you have been such a generous parent. He has no incentive to leave the nest. Quit letting him use the extra car and tell him that unless he starts doing his fair share around the house, finds a full-time job, and can prove that he's saving money, you want him out of there. Then give him a deadline, and if he hasn't shown improvement, by then, follow through. Sometimes a dose of tough love is what it takes to get a message across. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been married for 17 years, and I live in an older house. And live in an older house, we are slowly trying to update and remodel. One of our major issues is that every Sunday, he likes to go to flea markets where he spends at least $100 for art, which I might describe as junk. It's all over the house we're trying to fix. How do I get him to stop wasting money on this? Up to my elbows in Illinois. Dear Up, there are flea markets and then there are estate sales. They are not the same thing. Some real treasures can be found at estate sales because the sellers, often the next generation, do not realize the value of what they're getting rid of. It might be worth your while to ask your husband if the two of you can go to a few estate sales together and buy only items you can agree on. It's worth a try.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.